Mom's Night Out with author Jen Mann.
Thank you guys for coming. I know I've been talking to a lot of you as you arrive, and I know that you've come from close and far, and it's just anytime you put on pants and come out is always a big deal, so I appreciate you guys doing that. This is, I don't even know what number stop this is, but Kelsey's right. I had put out there that I had this new book out and that I was looking for people to help me promote the book, and I said, I'm thinking about going on tour maybe. Maybe I'll go on tour, but I need you guys to help me. I need you to plan it. I need you to find a place to do it. I need you to tell me what day you're going to do it. And I need you to help me get people in the door. And so 20 people have stepped up, whether it's librarians or just people who are like, come to my kitchen. And so I have been on the road for the last, I think, this is my third week on the road, and I've got a couple more weeks to go still. But I've got 20 stops, and it's so much fun to come out and see people who I know on the internet and maybe have known for years, but really don't have a face to put with them. It's been kind of fun to meet people. If you look like your profile picture, it's good. But when someone says to me, I'm the semicolon. Well, I'm like, oh, the semicolon, I know you, hi. Like, semicolon lady, yeah, you're very funny. And that's the thing, like, I don't even look at my profile picture anymore. I need to redo mine. But I'm so grateful to Kelsey and to the library, and I had no idea it was the first one. That's so cool, actually. You guys need to bring some more authors in here. Yes, just get on it, Kelsey. Like Kelsey said, so kind of what I talk about is I'm here to promote the book called Working with People I Want to Punch in the Throat, and it's the third throat punch book in the series. And I'm going to talk to you guys tonight about kind of how I got to this job, which is New York Times bestselling author, which is truly the best job I've ever had. And it was the only job I ever wanted. When I was 5 years old, I told my parents I wanted to be an author. And they said, that sounds great, dear, but, you have to pay your bills, so find maybe something else to do. And so it was always like, why don't you teach writing? Or why don't you work for a newspaper? And I was like, no, I'm going to be a writer. And instead, I did a lot of horrible other things to get to this point. But in 2006, I was 8 months pregnant with my daughter, who I call Adolpha. And I was 8 months pregnant with her, and my husband got laid off from his job. And he called me on the way home. He'd been downsized. A whole bunch of them had been downsized that same day. And he called me on the way home and to break the news to me. And I about gave birth right then. But I didn't, because we didn't have insurance anymore. And so I couldn't. And so I locked my knees and I said, oh my God, what are we going to do now? And he said, don't worry. I've been thinking about it. I got it all figured out. I was selling real estate in those days. I was a realtor, and I had done okay as a realtor. I really enjoyed realtor. If I wasn't a writer, realtor would really be my favorite job now. That really was a great job for me. But as a realtor, though, we really lived on his income. Like, I was mad money. I was like, we can go to Disney this year because mommy sold a house, And so I hadn't thought about me as the breadwinner. And so he's like, I'm going to come to work for you, and we're going to sell real estate together. And I said, oh, we're going to get divorced. And he's like, no, we're going to be great together. I'm like, no, we're not. No couple works together. It's a horrible idea. I'm like, I can't stand you. I can't work with you. And I was like, I need you to be gone during the day. And so he's like, no, I figured it out, Jen. He's like, what you need is you just need to be the boss. And he's like, as long as you're the boss, you're happy. And I was like, true. Okay, that's true. And he's like, I'm just going to be your bitch boy. I'm just going to run around and do whatever you need me to do. And I had a 2-year-old. And so he's like, you're going to be very busy in the next few months once this baby comes and we have the 2-year-old and we have her. And so he's like, it's going to be fantastic. And I called my mom and I said, we are totally getting divorced. Like, oh my God, like, make up the guest room. I think this is not going to last. But it did. And so in 2011, we now have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old at that point, And we are still selling real estate together, and we're still married, and I can't believe it, and I'm still the boss. And so it was still my name on the door, my clients. And so I was very, I was doing pretty good, except we worked from home. My husband had this great idea that to make us more efficient, we should work from home. And then that way we wouldn't need childcare, and we could just do it all, and I could be super mom, and he could be helpful dad. And it was not going well. Like, I was very stressed out trying to figure out how to get my kid to talk and walk and eat and, you know, be quiet while I'm trying to close deals and keep my house clean because we're all home all day making messes. And so I was very stressed out, and I have always been a complainer. And so I was complaining a lot. I think the word that my husband would use would be bitching. I was just constantly just da-da-da-da-da-da. And so he said, you know what? I love you, but I cannot listen to you anymore. And he said, you have got to do something. And I was like, well, what can I do? This is who I am. This is how I feel better. We can't afford therapy. Like, what am I supposed to do? And so he's like, you should start a mommy blog. All the moms have one. You should go get a mommy blog. You just go get one of those things and just write on it, and then you'll feel better. And I was like, huh, I don't know. I'll think about it. And so for the next 24 hours, I thought about it, and I thought, and I looked at mommy blogs. I didn't read blogs in those days, and I didn't know what a blog really was. And so I felt like, though, reading all these blogs, they were all like, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs tails and, you know, glitter and bullshit. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, these moms are lying to you. like you cannot, you know, nobody thinks it's fun to bake with a 3-year-old. Like, that's bullshit. No. And so I was sort of depressed about it. I was like, well, if that's what a mommy blog is, then I don't want one of those. And so my husband's like, how's the blogging coming? Have you blogged yet? And I was like, no, you just told me yesterday I should get one. And so he said, well, what's going on? And I said, I can't think of a name. Like, they all have such cute names, and they're all just so, like, fucking sunshiny and happy. And he was like, no, Jen, that's as easy. Your blog is People I Want to Punch in the Throat. And I said, oh, I could do that. And he's like, yeah, dummy, that's what you're supposed to be doing. He's like, go on there and vent, say all the things you want to say to me, and then come back and be happy. And so I went out and I looked, and peopleiwantapunchinthethroat.com was still available, which surprised the hell out of me. So I bought it. I bought .com, .gov, .org. I bought them all, and I started blogging. And I would blog sort of just whenever the mood struck me. And he was right. I would, you know, it was like a vent. I would put it out there, and then I would feel better, and I would go about my day. And I did that first. That was April, and I did that for several months. And then it was December of that same year. And it was the first week of December, and we were going to bed. My husband and I were going to bed, and it's late, it's cold, I'm tired, I'm thinking of all the things I need to do tomorrow, and you know how your mom brain just never shuts off, and so da, 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 da. And all of a sudden it's like, Elf, did you move the Elf? And I was like, fucking Elf. And I had already accused my 6-year-old that day of touching him, and that's why he didn't move the night before. And so I had to move him this time. Like, we were only 7 days in, and I think I'd moved him twice. And I was like, Gomer, I know you touched him. And he's like, I didn't. I was like, don't lie, because then he won't move again. So I shoved my husband, and I was like, hey, can you go move the Elf? I'm like, come on. And he's like, no, I hate that thing. And I said, well, come on, be the dad. Like, help me parent these kids. Go move that Elf. And he is a truther. And he was like, here's the thing. I'm sick of Santa. I'm sick of Santa getting all the credit. You know, I'm the one who built the dollhouse. I'm the one who bought the bicycle. I'm the one who does all this shit. And then he gets all the credit. And he's like, you know, I'm tired of it. And so he's like, it just makes more work for us. He's like, here's the thing. In the morning, we'll just set them down at breakfast. We'll just tell them there's no Santa. There's no Elf. There's no tooth fairy, all of it. We all made it up, and your mother, she doesn't want to move the Elf, so we're telling you now. And I was like, you asshole. And so I got out of bed, and I moved the Elf from the top shelf to the bottom shelf. And I had not been blogging long, but I had been blogging long enough that I had learned that if you do something And if you don't tell the internet you did it, then it never happened. So I had to tell the internet that I had done this thing. So I got on Facebook and I said, am I the only mom who is forgetting to move her Elf? It's only the first week of December. Am I the only one forgetting to move her Elf? And at 11:30 on like a Tuesday night or whatever, it was a weeknight, it was just, oh shit, me too. Ah, crap, I got to go do that. Oh no, oh crap, I just did it. I just remembered myself and dragged myself out of bed. You know, and just all these moms, gosh, that stupid Elf. Yeah, 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 I'm doing it now, doing it now. And this woman who has no children, and I think she was probably caught talking to us from a bar or something, because it was a Tuesday night and she could be out. She chimed in with her helpful suggestion of, I don't see what the big deal is, moms. You just need a system. Oh, what did you just say to me, bitch? And I was like, I just need a what? And she's like, a system. And then she dropped a link to a blog that had 101 ideas of things to do with your Elf on the Shelf. And it was things like literally make a red carpet and roll it out for him on his first night. Put him in a pair of underpants and make it a parachute and send him across the living room. Trash your kitchen and say the Elf did it. Tee hee hee. Like, get up in the middle of the night and switch everybody's closets around. Are you fucking kidding me, lady? My Elf would do better to clean the kitchen, and my kids would think that's magic. Like, trash the kitchen? My kitchen's trashed already, and who has time to get up in the middle of the night to move everybody's closet around? And they're 4 and 6. They're just going to be like, okay, I guess I'll just wear her clothes today. I mean, they're never going to be like, oh, what magical thing is this, mother? The Elf has switched our laundry around, you know? So I was like, no, this is bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. I am a good mother. Like, my kids are happy. They are well fed. They are healthy. They are safe. There are presents under the tree. And don't you make me feel less than because I'm not making this magical season more fucking magical. And so I sat down and I wrote, really, I just spit it out, just this tirade against her and about just how I've had it. I'd had it with all the perfect moms and, you know, enjoy them while they're little. No, fuck you. This is hard. And so I wrote this thing and I felt better because that's what I do. I was like, and now I can go to sleep. And so I put it down on my blog and I went to sleep that night. And in those days I had 70 readers and the 70 readers read it as they read everything and they agreed with it because they, in those days, nobody disagreed with me yet. They were all fangirls and so because they were all related to me. And so they read it and said, yeah, you go, Jen, that's right. And that was it. And I went about my day. And about a week later, I was running the PTO meeting because of course I was the PTO president because I was a sucker because I had walked in with a kindergartner that year and said, hi, I work from home so that I can be more involved in school. And they were just like, fantastic, that's wonderful. You can be the PTO president now. And I was like, okay. And I took the job. And so I'm running this PTO meeting and I'm trying to like get the carnival planned or whatever. And my husband texts me and he says, there's something weird going on with your blog. And I wrote back and said, like, what? And he said, I don't know, you've got like a bunch of comments, like hundreds of them. And I was like, what? I was like, no. You know, if it was today, I'd be like, the Russians are spamming me. I don't know what's happening. And so I was like, you're crazy. So he's like, I'll figure it out. So he downloaded Google Analytics. And Google Analytics can tell you how many people are on a website at any time. And so he came back and he said, there are 3,000 people on your website. And I said, you did it wrong. Like, stop it. And he's like, no, I swear to God. And so later on, it was throughout the day, it was, you know, throughout the meeting, it was like, you know, 5,000, 7,000, 15,000. And when it hit 25,000, I was like, 25,000 people? I was like, meeting's adjourned, bitches, I'm going viral. And so I like ended the meeting and I ran home and I was like, see ya, we'll play in Carnival next week. And so I ran home and we sat there all night and just watched the numbers rise. And it was about 7 or 8 o'clock that night when he looked up from the laptop and he said, well, there it is. 1 million reads on Elf on the Shelf. And I was like, what? And I'm sitting in a corner rocking and crying. I had never had a million people read anything that I had written. And for I mean, 99% of the people liked it, but the 1% that did not like it really did not like it. And they were really angry with me. And I was very upset because I had never had anybody angry with me before on the internet. And now I realize they are just dumb. But in those days, it was scary. And so that's when I changed my kids' names. Because people, women were like, you know, you're so lucky you can even have children. You know, you should cherish them and you should make magic all the time. I'm going to come to their school and steal them. And I was like, Mom, oh my God. So that's when I changed their names to Gomer and Adolpha. And I took all their photos down off the blog. And I still, they're 10 and 12 now. I still don't show photos of them. I still don't say what their real names are. Even if you ask me nicely, that's always my favorite when someone's like, it's okay, I won't tell. And I'm just like, no, I'm not telling you either. So, you know, like, you're still a stranger. But, and so I changed their names and I went anonymous too because I was sort of freaked out by it all. But I'm sitting there sort of freaked out, and I'm worried that it wasn't funny enough. I'm worrying about stupid grammar mistakes. I'm worrying about just, you know, why these people hate me so much and how can I make them like me? And my husband's like, who cares if they like you? You don't even know them. You know, let it go. And so he said, so what are you going to do tomorrow? And I was like, well, I think this is pretty good. I think it's, you know, I got this, I can read it again or something. And he was just like, no, 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 no. And he said, on our first date, you told me you wanted to be a writer. So be a writer. Here's your chance. I had created a Facebook page that day for the blog, and I got 17,000 people to follow me that day. And so he's like, you have 17,000 people who want to hear what you have to say, and they've already read everything. So go entertain them, Jen, and become a writer. And so I started writing 5 days a week on the blog for several years after that. I now have 600 blog posts on there. So if you want something to do tonight, knock yourself out. But I started blogging. Like, I was still working full time, but I was like, I'd put my kids to bed at night and I'd spend about an hour with my husband watching TV and have like, okay, I got to go to work now. I got to go to my second job. And then I'd go write something. And, but then a few months into it, my readers started asking for a book. And I was like, a book? My gosh, I'm blogging 5 days a week. What more do you want from me? And I was like, and I wouldn't know what to write about. I was like, I don't know what kind of book to write. And so a friend of mine suggested, she said, well, your Elf on the Shelf was your most popular post, and you should write a holidays book, and you should put the elf in it, and then you should write more funny holiday stories around it. And I was like, okay. And this was June. And so I said, So I just got to get that done by, you know, like December 20th or so. And she's like, no, you need to get that done by like August. And I was like, ah! And so I ran home and I started writing. In those days, in 2011, when you go viral, nobody cared. Like, meaning like the media did not care at all. And publishers and agents did not care. Nobody had reached out to me at all. My sister-in-law went viral a few weeks ago. She was the bridesmaid in the dress, like watering her plants and shit. She's like, yeah, see? Oh, yeah, her. Yeah, she was everywhere. Like, she was everywhere. And, you know, because that's how it is now. Now they have all these sites that will just, you know, take all this stuff and they'll just share it. And I'm sure she'll get a call from New York where they'll be like, we should make a coffee table book of, you know, of all your dresses or something. And she'll probably make a movie about it. I mean, who knows? But like, there just wasn't those kinds of opportunities for me back then. And so I didn't want to wait for New York. I didn't want to query and try to find an agent and then try to get the book sold. And so my husband was like, well, you start writing and I will, I'll learn how to self-publish. And so that's what we did. And so we started writing and then we self-published that sucker in October and we put it out there and I mean, no marketing, no nothing. Like, I mean, when I think about it now, I just was like, hey everybody, bleh, here's a book. Like, I mean, like I didn't tell anybody I was working on it, like nothing. I was like, I did it. Here you go. But my audience was so great. And I'm so grateful to them because they just went wild and they bought the heck out of this book and it rose up the charts of Amazon. Do you have it? Is that what you said? Yay! And so it went up the charts of Amazon and that did get the attention of New York. Then New York was like, hey, what is this weird spending the holidays thing? What's that about? And so that helped turn into a two-book deal with Random House. And so then I wrote People I Want to Punch in the Throat, Competitive Crafters, Drop-Off Despots, and Other Suburban Scourges. And that's the one that hit the New York Times. And then I also have, they bought the Holidays book and they just made it better because it was pretty bad. So thank you for buying that because it wasn't my best. So they just made it a lot better. But once the Holidays book did so well on Amazon, though, I started hearing from other authors and bloggers and writers who were reaching out to me saying, how did you do that? Like, how did you make that happen? And I was like, man, if I knew, I'd do it every day. I don't know. And so I said, you know what I do know? I know that I had an opportunity and I used it. And everyone just needs that little spark of opportunity. And I said, we've learned how to self-publish at this point. My audience obviously likes funny books. Let's put out a funny anthology. And so I picked 35 women to join me, and Janelle was one of them. So I picked 35 women to join me who I liked, and I liked their writing. And I said, give me one funny story, and we'll all put it together, and we'll see how this goes. And that was I Just Want to Pee Alone. And I Just Want to Pee Alone, when that book was 2 years old, it hit the New York Times, which is really rare for a book to do it that late in its little life. But that is a book that every Mother's Day, it comes back up. And it's the little book that could. And so that book has done really, really well. And so then that has led me to do more. Every year I do a new anthology. I've done, let me think. I Just Want to Pee Alone. I Just Want to Be Alone. I Still Just Want to Pee Alone. I Just Want to Be Perfect. And the newest one is But Did You Die? And that one is terrible parenting advice. And that is because my mother, as a person raised in the 70s, you know, some of the things I hear that she did with us, you know, I'm like, oh my God, Mom, you did that for real? And she's like, yeah, but did you die? No, you're fine. And so I don't know what our kids will, you know, I don't know, because at this point, I mean, my God, I practically wrap them in like bubble wrap before I let them go outside to do anything. So I don't quite know what they're going to, it'll probably be more like that. Like I could have suffocated under all the bubble wrap, or I don't know what it's going to be that my kids are going to go to therapy for, but that will always be my response. Yeah, but did you die? No, you're fine. So, and so I do those every year. And those have been really fun for me because one of the things that I wanted to do is give an opportunity to other writers because I know how great it is. I know how fun this job is. And I know how many of us wanted this job and we want this for ourselves. And I wanted to give that opportunity. I didn't want to be that person who just like pulled the ladder up behind me and was like, sorry, bitches, you know? So I've always got anchors in my store, in my books that I know I can rely on. And then I try to open up to new voices. And this year with the But Did You Die, I let guys in. I'd never let guys in because I felt like the daddy bloggers, you know, gosh, they get a lot. This is going to go on the internet, isn't it? So sorry, daddy bloggers, you know, hit me up. Let me know what you think of this. So I get perturbed with the daddy bloggers because if they comb their kids' hair, they go viral. Like, it's like, oh my God, he's a dad. You can make ponytail. Well, big fucking deal. Like, that's his job. He's a dad. Like, is he not? Like, I get very irritated with that we like put them on pedestals for like doing like normal dad shit. And so I was like, you guys could probably like, you know, crap out a book and nobody would, you know, everybody would be like, oh my God, the dads, they wrote a book. And so I was like, no, I'm not going to put you guys in it. Like, go get your own book. Like, and so, but this year I did let the guys in and I have to say, I set the bar really, really high for them because I was like, oh, I don't know, fellas. And so I set it really high and they really do have probably the funniest stories in there because I was like, so like, you got to really make me laugh. So I'm really glad I did let them in. It's been very fun to have, because I call us a sisterhood, all the Pee Alone. I think I have 100 now, 100 contributors, and we're all like this little sisterhood family. And I'm like, oh, and I guess we have brothers now. So, hey, brothers. So, but it's always very strange because I feel like I'm sexually harassing them because I'll say stuff like, if we do have really good sales or something, I'll be like, ass slaps for everybody. I'm like, except for the guys. You guys just get handshakes because that would be inappropriate. So I have to really curb myself with my mixed company now. But those have been really fun. And then the other thing I did this year was My Lame Life. And My Lame Life was, that is a book that my daughter asked for. Adolfa is now 10, and I don't let my kids read my Punch stuff. And it used to be because it just was like, believe it or not, like I don't cuss in front of them and everything. Like I'm like, you know, like super mom, nice mom. And I'm like, gosh darn it. And, you know, gee willikers, that was tough. And so that was part of it. And now it's more that I'm afraid they will out me because they will figure out, because I'm writing about the parents of their friends a lot of times. And they know that parent has pissed me off. They've heard it already. And so then they'll be like, oh, so that's Mrs. So-and-so. No, that's not Mrs. So-and-so at all. Shh, don't tell. So that's a lot of the reason why I don't let them read that. Plus, I just think they'll think it's boring. And so my daughter asked me if I could write a book that she could read. And I started thinking about what kind of book I would want her to read. And I was thinking about books that I read when I was her age. And I was a huge, huge, huge fan of Judy Blume. And I think probably everybody in this room was too. I see a lot of his. Like, she was kind of like, she was our woman. She taught us everything. And I wanted to write something that maybe would be like the Judy Blume of today, you know, that... And so I started thinking about what were all the things that I want to tell her. If I had the wisdom that I have now, the confidence, the sassiness, you know, all that, to go back to high school and tell people what I really think. And so that's what I did. And so my book is all about girl power, and it's all about owning who you are and just not letting the mean girl shit get to you. That even at 10, she's already dealing with that and trying to figure out where she fits in the hierarchy at school and what she has to do. And I'm like, you know what? Just you do you. Don't worry about where you fit. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. And be confident in who you are. And I have worked so hard to raise her like that. And a couple weeks, or I guess it was last year, she came home from school. And this story will go into My Lame Life too. I'm going to put it in there because it's so good. So last year she came home from school and she was mad. And she's mad every day because she is totally my child. So she comes home mad every day and she's just like, ugh. And I was like, what's the matter today? Like, what happened? And she's like, okay, so we had to take this test. And they had to take a test to figure out what their future job will be someday, their aptitude or whatever. And they took this test and she's like, and everybody was like, I got doctor, I got lawyer. And she's like, not one person got janitor. I don't think so. And she's like, you know, they all got professional high paying jobs that, I don't think so. And she's like, that's baloney. And so I just started listening. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what did you get? She's like, it doesn't matter what I got. She's like, anyway. And so I was like, did you get janitor? And she's like, no. She's like, I got doctor. I'm like, no, you didn't. But anyway. So she tells me that they're all asking, what did you get? What did you get? And then when someone turns to her and they're like, what did you get? And she said, I got serial killer. And she said, and this is where I'm mad, because they believed me. And I was like, oh my. And so, and she goes, but now that I think about it, like, as I keep thinking about it, she's like, first I was mad because I was like, how would you think I'm a serial killer? And then she's like, but then I'm thinking, like, you're kind of afraid of me. I like that. Like, yeah. She's like, I'm just going to keep telling them I'm a serial killer. Then that's what I got. And I was like, I kind of think that's genius. Like, I kind of like that. I think I like it. But she really got writer, which is what I want her to be. I want her to write books with me. And she won't do it. And so she didn't want to tell me she got writer. She'd rather tell me she got serial killer. And but I just think that, you know, she has kind of this, so it's like we're constantly like building our girls up because they're constantly being torn down, you know, through society and through other women and all this kind of thing. And so I wanted to write a book, and it's going to be a series of books, but I wanted to write a series of books that let girls know that they're not alone, because I think that's what People I Want to Punch in the Throat is. I mean, that's why I went viral, was when the Elf on the Shelf was, we all felt, not all of us, but a lot of us felt this pressure, and we felt the judgment, and we felt all of this weighing down on us. And when you read The Elf, it was like, oh, shoot, yes, that's it. That's what I'm feeling. And she said it, and oh, my gosh, and I'm not alone. I thought I was alone. I'm not alone. And it's all about, you know, I'm all about girl power and finding your tribe, because I think that for me, it took me 40 years to find my tribe, and my tribe is online, and my tribe are my people who I talk to every day. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of friends in my real life, you know, because I write about them all, and so they don't want to be my friends. But I want to, you know, and so I have this tribe, and it's all about find your people and find who get you, and don't worry about trying to make people who don't get you. You know, that's the other thing. You know, I was telling a story in an interview a few weeks ago where I was at a book festival, and I had people I want to punch and throw it on the desk and on the table, and a woman walked by and she said, "Oh, that title, it sounds so violent." And I said, "Then this is not for you. Keep moving." And she was like, "Well, aren't you even going to tell me what it's about?" And I was like, "If you don't like the title, you're not going to like the book." So, and I was like, "And why would I convince you to buy a book that you're not going to like, and then you're going to leave me a 1-star review, and I got your $3 or whatever I made off of you today, and now I got a 1-star review, and you fucked up my review. So no, goodbye," you know? And yeah, right? And so the guy was like, or, you know, then the guy who was interviewing me, he was like, "So you just tell people, like, even like people who could be potential fans, like where to go." And I said, "But she's not a potential fan." I said, "See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's that everyone, I am not everyone's cup of tea. You're not everyone's cup of tea, and you don't have to be. Just figure out who likes your tea." You know? Like, and that's who you should be. And that's what I'm trying to do with My Lame Life, is to let girls know that I see you, I hear you, you're not alone. Find your tribe, drink some tea. And so that's what I've been really working on hard, is to do that, because I just want my daughter to be strong and to be fierce and sassy and bold, but still respect me. So, you know, but follow all the rules. So, and that's the balance you're constantly trying to work on. And so now I'm going to tell you guys a little story from the working book. I don't read it because I feel like when I read it, it's really kind of long and there's a lot in there, and it's just better to tell the story. It's much funnier if I tell you the story. Not that the story to read it is boring, but okay. Read it anyway, but I'm still better to tell you. I'm really selling this book, aren't I? You should get this book. It's not that funny. But okay. So if you read the Competitive Crafters book, then you know that I met my husband online. And I was living in Kansas, and he was living in New York, and we decided that we needed to be together in the same city if we wanted this relationship to continue past, you know, talking to each other on the phone or whatever. So I said, "Well, I'll move to New York," because, again, I wanted to be a writer. Writers live in New York. I just assumed that somebody would stop me on a subway one day and say, "You look like a girl who could write a bestseller. Like, let me talk to you." And I would be like, "Oh, okay." And we would do that, because I lived in a fantasy. I still live in a fantasy world, but I really lived in a fantasy world back then. And so I moved to New York, and I applied for writing jobs. I applied to work at magazines and things like that. And I was interviewed, and I could have been hired, but then I found out that they pay you nothing. They pay you in lipstick, basically, in free lipstick. Like, it's all about the freebies. I mean, they're like, "Have we told you that, you know, you get mascara every month?" And I'm like, "Okay, did I tell you that I have to eat every month?" And, you know, and so I'm trying to find a job. And so I had hooked up with this headhunter woman, and she was helping me find jobs. And so finally I was like, "Look, I can't do this writing thing, because it just doesn't cover my rent. I can't do this." And so she said, "Well, I wish you could, you know, if you could type, I could do admin work." And I said, "I can type, and I can type 90 words a minute." So she's like, you can type 90 words a minute?" She's like, "That's amazing. I can get you top dollar." And I was like, "All right, give me top dollar to be an admin and 90 words a minute." And so she started sending me out on all these admin jobs that actually would pay for my rent. And so I got a call back. And I got a call from a media company. So she was kind of like, best of both worlds, you know, it's media, but you'd be an admin. And I'd be an admin to the chairman. And the chairman, he owned the company, like, I think his dad owned the company maybe. But he's 30. And so, and in those days, I was about 25. And so I did all this research, because I always do research before I go into an interview. And so I did all this research, and all the research turned up was that he's basically a playboy who spends a lot of time on a yacht with models. And this was sort of all before, like, those like 50 Shades of Grey and like the billionaire, like love, like those books, you know? And in my mind, though, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be that like awkward girl that like stumbles into the office. And then he's going to be like, who are you? Like, I've been waiting for this doughy Midwestern girl. Like, you're so cute and adorable. You make me laugh. You know, none of the models make me laugh. They're not funny. And so I thought that like we would like have a relationship. I was like, sorry. I like told my boyfriend, my husband, but I was like, sorry, I think the billionaire is going to fall for me and it's going to be awkward for you, but you know, it's going to be tough. And so it's time to go to the interview and it's pouring down rain. And as you can see, my hair does really well in the rain. And so it's like, my hair is just like, and it's like big, but yet flat all at the same time. I've got like mascara running down my face and I get off the elevator and the HR rep is like, hi. I was like, hi, I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet my husband. I mean, my boss, let's do this. And so she says, come on into the conference room. And so she's interviewing me and I'm doing so good. Like, it's, you know, what's your greatest weakness? I work too hard. I just can't let it go. I'm always in the office, always on. And, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Right here, doing everything that he asks me to do. Anything you want, you know, I'm your girl. You know, just all, I am just nailing her questions. I am doing so well. So then she's like, okay, well, now the chairman wants to meet you too. He'll come in. So he comes in and he's even cuter in person and he smells good and everything. And I'm just like, hi. So he's talking and we're doing good and I feel a connection. Like, I know there's a connection. I see it. Like, I can feel it. Like, there is something going on. Like, that we are vibing. And I'm like, oh, this is poor Hubs. And so then the HR says to him, you got to ask her the question. And he's like, we got to do the question. She's like, we have to do the question. We're asking everybody the question. And so he's like, okay, Jen, it's just one question. We're asking everybody. It's not a big deal. It's kind of a weird question. It doesn't mean anything. Don't even worry about the question. Just answer whatever comes to mind. Okay. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why? What the fuck kind of question is that? And I said, I probably should have thought about it for 30 seconds, but instead I did 10 seconds. And I was like, koala bear. And he was like, okay, and why? And I said, because koalas are cute and little, but we're feisty. Arr! And I growled at him. And it gets better, hold on. So I growled, and then I winked. I was like, arr. And I kept winking at him, and he was just like, I have to go. And he like left, and the HR woman was like, thanks for coming by. And they escorted me out of the building. I mean, security didn't escort me, but I'm pretty sure like somebody probably watched me and made sure I left the building. And in those days, I didn't have a cell phone. And so when I got home to my apartment, I had like 5 messages from my headhunter. And the first one is, you know, hey, Jen, how did it go? Just checking in on the interview. Hey, Jen, can you give me a call when you get in? I talked to XYZ Media, and I just have a couple questions about the interview. Jen, oh my God, Jen, call me back. Jen, what the fuck did you do? You know, and I'm like, well, I winked at him. And she's like, why would you wink at him? I was like, I don't know. He was cute, and I just lost it. So I did not get that job. And after that, she only sent me out on interviews with men over the age of like 60, like to work for like 60 plus. She was like, no more young hot billionaires for you. Like, you do not get to meet those guys because you're not going to get those jobs. So that's it. But then I did have some other fun jobs, and those are all in the book. Everything from all the old men I worked for, and then a lot of great real estate stories. And I hope that you guys enjoy it all. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, ma'am. Hold on, she's got to bring you a microphone. We are fancy here at Ann Arbor Library.
I guess I just want to know if you've had time to think about
it. I don't think that microphone's working.
It's not. Is it? Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can.
Now I can hear. So now that you've had all this time to think about it, if you could be an animal.
I think I'm a cat. I think I'm a cat. I you know, like I always say that dogs are stupid because they like they're because people are like, oh, I love my dog. You know, he runs to the door and he greets me when I get home and he makes me feel so loved. And I'm like, it's dumb. Like, I don't need to run to the door and greet you. I'm the cat that just lays in the sun. I'm like, I got my good, hot, nice spot. I'm soft. You guys try to pet me. If I want to be petted, I let you. But if I don't, I can go away. So I think I am a cat. And my husband's a dog, unfortunately. What'd you say?
I said, or scratch your shin,
honey. Yeah, exactly. Right. Or, yeah, or, arr, more claws. Again, something with claws.
Cats are
unpredictable.
She's in a cubicle.
Mm.
Why? Whoever's admining your page now. Broken
foot. Oh, Kristen, yeah.
Yeah, and my cat.
Oh, good. See, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and that's when cats, like cats just don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, like dogs are like they're always happy looking, and cats are just like, come at me, bitch. So, yeah, I think I'm a cat. Good question. Thank you. No one's asked me that, especially the mouthful of water. Any other questions?
The mic.
So as a full-time working mom,
mm-hmm.
how do you find time? I know you said you write at night.
Yep.
Creativity doesn't come just when you sit down and want it there.
Right.
So how do you keep a little bit to have that creative energy
right. After
you've spent all day being a mom and working all day? I'm like mentally exhausted by the time I could actually sit down and write.
Mm-hmm. I think you kind of have to let like the muse thing go. Like the muse is bullshit. Like, like writing is a job.
Right.
Like, and the more you write, the more the creativity will come to you. And you have to time block and you have to make it an important thing. Like it's like when I was trying to work, now I write full time, but half the time my job is social media because now I have over 1 million fans. And so now half the time, half of my day is managing social media and keeping that going. So I still only write half the day, but you have to time block and you have to set aside and you have to make it important. And I'm lucky because I have a husband who's really supportive of that. And I know it's really difficult if you don't have that. If you don't have that support system, it's really, really hard because you need his help. You need your spouse's help to really take things over. You know, for a while there when I was trying to do it all, you know, he took over laundry. And I was like, that would be amazing if you did laundry. And the other day he was like, hey, I'm still doing laundry. And you quit selling houses. And I'm like, I know, thank you. I love it. Thank you. You're so good to me. You know, but I think though, it's like, you know, what is it, Stephen King? Like, have you read like On Writing? Like, it's just, you just have to write, whether it's, no matter what you're writing, it might not be good, but it's getting your brain going and getting the juices flowing, but you can't wait for the muse. You just have to say like every night, and you have to kind of figure out when your time is. Like, you know, when I first started writing full time, I'd read all this stuff about, you know, all these writers that get up first thing in the morning and they write first thing in the morning. And I can't do that because I'm thinking about emails and social media. Like, things have happened overnight that I want to weigh in on or answer or what have you. So I have found that I do much better to do my social media and emails in the morning, and then I start writing after lunchtime, you know, and then I write till my kids come home from school. So you kind of have to find your magic hour. I do think there is a magic hour where you're better. When I had little kids, my magic hour was 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I would set my alarm.
That I'm thinking, okay, so how did you get up the next day and work?
Because I really wanted to make it work. Because,
right.
You know, because I knew that if I wrote enough, I could quit the other job. And so it was really about making that happen, like taking that and making it the priority. It's kind of like everything else. Like, you know, I talk to moms who go to college at night. You know, they work full time and then they take classes online at night. You know, that's something that I'm like, I could never do that. But yeah, I could write a book all night long. So, you know, it's like, it's whatever kind of is your thing. But I do think you have to find your hour. And I used to write a lot. Like, when I read an article about Stephanie Meyer, she wrote Twilight. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how she wrote Twilight at her kids' swim practice, that she wrote it on legal pads at her kids' swim practice. And I get in the habit now where I take my laptop with me. I go to baseball and I take my laptop with me and I'm working on something. Yeah, great, honey, you're doing great. And then I'm writing. And I've gotten very good at writing everywhere that I can be. I follow a lot of just authors, and I sort of get inspired by them. Like when I see where they're working, I mean, there was a woman the other day doing edits at the DMV, you know, like, and she's, you know, but she's, well, that's it. She's like, I know I'm going to be here for an hour. I've got edits I need that are due to my editor. So I just brought my laptop and I'm doing my edits, and I'm thinking like, okay, next time I go to the DMV, I'm taking my laptop. So I always have my laptop with me. I'm always trying to get something done. And I set word goals every day. I set word count goals. And I found, too, that I'm better with a weekly goal than a daily goal, because I was kind of beating myself up that if I had a crap day today and I couldn't get it done, that, you know, tomorrow is going to suck. And so what I do is I try to write Monday to Friday now and take the weekends off to be with my family. But I give myself till Sunday. I'll say, okay, by Sunday you need 10,000 words done, one way or another. And there are many Sunday nights that I am that I am pounding away at the end, you know. But I'm also a procrastinator. That's also something else that motivates me, is I need a hard deadline. Set a hard deadline for yourself and reward yourself. I rewarded myself. I still reward myself. Like if I do something, it's a big fucking deal if you can get 10,000 words written, you know. So celebrate. What makes you happy? If, you know, I was telling these guys before you were here, but some of you weren't here. So I was telling them that in Kansas, we just don't have, like, we don't have the parkas that you guys have. Like, I love all the parkas. We have like 8 parkas. And I was at the store today and I was like, look at all these parkas. And so I was like, if I sell enough books, I can have a parka. And my husband was like, oh, because you'll make enough money to buy a parka. And I was like, no, because I'll have room in my suitcase. But, you know, but it's like, it's that kind of thing. Like, think to yourself, like, if I do this, then I get that. And it doesn't always have to be something you have to buy. It can be, I get an hour to read, or I get to take a bath. You know, my whole big thing is, like, I love to take, like big bubble baths and stuff. So I'm like, you get to have a bubble bath if you finish your words today. So, you know, just things like that that will kind of trick you. But it's a very tough balance. It is. I'm not going to lie. It's a hard balance, but you just have to want it and figure out how to make it work for you. Like, what is your motivation, and what does your schedule look like? So, sorry, no easy answer there. Anybody else? Well, I think it's for the so it'll be on the video.
Because I've read a lot of your blog, and what I would like to know is, you said you don't have a lot of friends because you write about them, but in a serious manner, I mean, family, friends, you know, parents of the, you know, kids that your kids go to school with and stuff. How do you keep from really, pissing someone off, I guess?
I don't.
And you know, in keeping the relationships, you know, do they understand that, you know, this is just part of my job and don't take it so personal, or toughen up, or what?
Everyone takes it personally. So there's only 3 people. I always say there's only 3 people I care about: my 2 kids and my husband. If they tell me not to write something, I won't write it. When Gomer was 10, he asked me not to write about him anymore because he felt like everybody was laughing at him and not with him. And he felt like we were making fun of him. And I didn't see it that way, but that's how he saw it, and I wasn't going to argue with him, so I stopped writing about him. He heard me do a radio interview this summer, and I told this to the interviewer, and when I was done, he said, you don't write about me anymore? And I'm like, no, you asked me not to. I tell very few stories about you. And he's like, oh, but I'm hilarious. I'm like, whereas like Adolfa, she's like, write an entire book about me. Like, I am the queen. So she's all in. My husband is all in. You know, people will kind of get on me about how much I throw him under the bus. And I will tell you all, he throws himself under the bus. He's the one, he comes to me all the time and is like, hey, tell that story about that time that, you know, I gave you a scale for Mother's Day. Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, it was a great story. And he's like, yeah, it was hilarious and people will hate me, so do that. So, you know, he's all about, if it will get a laugh, he will do it. And so my parents, I write about my mom a lot too, especially in the holidays book, and I throw her under the bus pretty good. My mom has a great sense of humor, and deep down, my mom likes the attention. This year, she did not decorate for Halloween, and I had some requests to tour her home because she does, I mean, Christmas is really her jam, but Halloween is a close second. And people were asking for a video tour, and I went over there in late September, and by late September, it's if it's not up, it's almost most up. And so I was like, Mom, you haven't even started Halloween. What's going on? And she was like, oh, I'm traveling a lot. I don't know. I won't be here to enjoy it. I just don't want to do it. And I said, oh, that's too bad because my readers really wanted a tour. And she's like, oh, well, I mean, I could, well, shoot, could I put some stuff up? Let me think, you know. So she likes the attention. I have extended family that do not like what I do, and they let me know that they don't like what I do. The neighbors and the moms at school is a little bit tougher. The moms at school, I think part of it is, what is it? Like Anne Lamott said, you know, if you wanted me to be nice, you know, like this is my story. If you wanted it to be different, you should have been nicer, kind of thing. I totally butchered that, but it's something to that effect. Sorry, Anne, I'm sure you're watching. But I think that's a lot of it, that like if you're going to be an asshole, I'm going to call you out on it. And so you were probably already an asshole, and we probably already were not friends before this all started, and now you just know why we're not friends. But I have a very short patience now. I just don't want to surround myself with like fake bitches. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not the one who will just go to every event. And people have stopped inviting me now too, because they know that like, they're like, yeah, like, you know, I don't get invited anymore. And at first I was sort of like, hey, I'm not invited anymore. And my husband's like, well, what did you expect? Like you told them you don't want to come. And I was like, well, but I like being able to say I don't want to come. And he was like, no, you're out, Jen, you're out. So the relationships with the kids is tougher. I mean, I hear things that are said to my kids, you know, why can't your mom be normal? Why can't your mom be like the other moms? Why does your mom cuss so much? Because I fucking want to. And, you know, but yet I see so much hypocrisy in them that I'm sort of like, So then I get kind of perturbed and I...
Want your opinion and then...
Yeah, or the ones who say, like, we love everybody except, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, and I just, you know, we're such a great community, you know, as long as you fit the mold that we have made and broken. And so that's kind of my thing. But I don't worry so much. And now that my kids are getting older, they don't worry so much. They have found their tribes. And I have some friends that, you know, I joke that I have no friends. It was funny because I wrote a blog post a few years ago about how it's hard for me to find friends. And my admin shared it. It was an old one, and she shared it, and I didn't know she'd shared it that day. And I started getting text messages from these people, and they're like, hey, Jen, I just want to let you know I'm thinking of you, and, you know, we should get together sometime. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Sue. Good to hear from you. You know, hey, Jen, how you doing, friend? And I was like, good. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, do I have cancer? Like, do I not know? And then I went and looked at my feed, and I realized that she'd shared this. So now I know who my real friends are for sure. I have text messages from them. But part of it too is I'm just really busy. Like, I'm, you know, I'm home in the day, but I'm not really available. And so I'm, you know, because I do stick to my schedule, and I it is important to me. And so that I lose out on a lot. Because of me too, and what I'm choosing to do. So there you go. Yeah.
Hi. A couple months ago, I posted on your Facebook that I really want you to do a book about baseball.
About
being
where?
A baseball mom. People, yeah. I want to punch in the throat as a baseball mom, because it's been, oh gosh, my kid's 16 now, so a lot of years.
Yeah.
And I'm what people call a crunchy mom, so uh-huh. I don't fit in.
Yes.
I'm the asshole mom that calls people out on their stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and of course, again, I don't fit the mold.
Yeah.
But anyways, I really need a book
on baseball,
because then every year I'll pass it out to every single one of them and be like, okay, this is pretty much me. And deal.
The baseball moms don't drive me as crazy as the baseball dads. Like, the baseball moms kind of drive me crazy because they wear the uniform. They've always got like the sparkle, like, you know, baseball mom, and, you know, and on the back is like Cody's mom, and they wear the hats and stuff, you know, and they're just like, yay. And they're eight, you know, their kids are eight. Like, their kids are not Yankees or anything, and they're out there. But my son plays baseball. And he's playing baseball right now, and we have this team, and it's this coach is just, he's just an ass. He's just such a jerk. And he's, they're a really good team, and we lose every time we play them. And one night we're playing them, and we are we are winning. We're winning. The game is, like, we're all watching the clock because it's one of those where it's like when you get to a certain time, the game is over, you know? So we're all like, come on, you guys, you got to just hold them for like 8 more minutes and then you win. And so we're all kind of, all of us are like, oh. And this coach calls a timeout and he goes out and he huddles his team and we don't hear what he says, but I can tell from his expressions. I mean, he just, and at the end he's like, do not lose this. This is important. And I was like, they are 12, asshole. And so I get up there and I was like, don't even listen to him. This is not important at all. I was like, it's important to study, not this. And, you know, and I'm just like heckling him back. And I told my son was like, my son came to the fence. He's like, what are you doing? You know, and I was just like, I hate that guy. And I said, you got to hold him off because I want to see him cry. I said, he's going to cry when they lose. He's going to cry. Because he was like, you are undefeated. You have never lost. What is wrong with you? And I was like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, they're 12. And so that's where I get it, is like that hyper-competitive, like, insanity where they all think that their kid is going to be a pro athlete someday. And I'm just like, I don't think that's going to happen. This is rec ball. Like, we're not even, like this is not even, like, Golden Glove or whatever. We're not a traveling team. Like, we are literally rec ball for 12-year-olds. And this guy is losing his shit out there. And so the moms I can deal with, like, at least they're positive and weird and, you know, but it's the debt. Okay, so yeah, maybe, and that's the other thing. Our team is always, his baseball team is always the team of, like, the leftovers. Like, there's always, like, there's, like, team, because, like, whole teams have, like, moved up since they were 5, you know, together, and then we come in, and so we've always got, like, well, you know, this boy, like, I think there's a boy in his team this year, they're 12, and he's never played baseball. He didn't know how to throw a ball, like, when he got there, and so they're, like, the coach is, like, okay, son, like this, you know, and he's, like, throw, because the kid's, like, can you throw it like that? And so it's like, so we always kind of have like the misfit Bad News Bears team. So our parents are fairly cool because we all know that our kids are not going to go pro. We're like, you know, our kids are going to probably, hopefully do something else, but we just don't know. But I hear you, and I would love to write a whole book about sports because it's a lot. There's a lot to say there. Oh, yeah. It reminds you of somebody you know. Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Can you tell us a little bit about your next projects? Are you going to do another throat punch book? Are you thinking about doing another YA or middle grade book at all?
Right. Well, the YA for sure is going to be a series. I've got 5 planned in that one. And book 2 is due in December. So that'll probably come out in the spring. Throw punch, I know I have at least one more left in me. It's so hard because there's only so many true funny stories you can tell, as you know. You know, it's like you kind of run out of fodder after a while. So I keep saying, though, like, now we're in middle school. My son's in middle school, and there's so much good stuff. And, you know, but I'm being respectful of him and his boundaries and what, you know, and he says I can write about him, but I'm like, dude, it's so embarrassing. I can't write about you yet. So maybe in a couple years I'll have some sort of middle school, but luckily that's the nice thing about The Lame Life. I'm putting a lot of that into Lame Life and sort of, you know, fictionalizing it, and he'll read it and he'll be like, hey, I did that. And I was like, oh, did you? Sorry. You know, and then I think that, well, not I think, I want, I'm going to, I will, I want to do women's fiction. I think that fiction is really the path I want to get onto now. I think that there's not enough funny fiction books. I love a good mystery and a good thriller and all that, but I'm that person who can't figure out who the killer is, so I definitely can't write that kind of book because I think you have to know before you write it. So I cannot craft a thriller, but I can write a funny book. And so, you know, I'd love to write some women's fiction, some funny something like that. Yes, ma'am. She's coming with a microphone.
Hi, you know, I'm going to be very honest here. I have not read your blog. I'm very technologically not savvy. Like, not so much not savvy, just scared.
Okay.
You know, what's out there. And
sure.
Twice my Facebook page has been hacked by somebody who I really have tried to stay away from. And
it was an ugly situation. You know who hacked you?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Like, you know the person who hacked
yeah,
you?
Yeah, somebody from one of those mean girl bullies who just wow. Really, she hasn't grown out of it by the age of 45.
I need a name. I will handle that shit tonight.
You know. I actually had to have, you know, which is why, like, I just stay off. I'm trying to get back into it, but, you know, I haven't really, Anyway.
Yes.
But I will, once I do, I definitely want to read your blog because I think it's, you know, to tell you the truth, though, another truth, I'm not a parent, but I've been a caretaker for a special needs sibling as well as both my elderly parents, one of whom passed away several years ago and another one who, you know, I've had to put my life on hold for a lot of my adult life.
Right.
And I'm not complaining, but have you ever looked at it from that perspective, too? Because a lot of times when people tell me about their troubles with being a parent or whatever, I actually sympathize a lot because, quite honestly, I think I'm not a, again, like I said, I'm not a parent, but I think anybody who's in that kind of caretaker position just gets pulled in so many different directions. Right. And I actually think, from what I've seen and just also being a caretaker, I think it's much harder to be a parent today than it was when my parents were raising us in the 70s and 80s and Judy Blume time.
Yeah.
You know, like I loved the Beverly Cleary books, especially Ramona Quimby.
Yeah.
Now today, Ramona Quimby would probably be in special ed. And, you know, they'd probably be putting her on Ritalin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I loved her. Yeah. You know, I was like, I am so her. That kind of thing does happen to me because I'm so clumsy.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I just think that, have you ever thought of incorporating like caretakers? Because there are a lot of people in my age group who are, whether they're parents or not, or whether they're married or not, they're caretakers for we're the sandwich generation.
Yes, right.
And we have a lot of our own funny stories too.
Right. I have not thought about that. No. You know, one of the first rules of writing is write what you know. And because I'm not in that situation, I don't know it. But I'm sure that there are. In fact, I can think of a few books that people have written because they are. My friend who I stayed with last night, she's in that position right now. She's caring for a mother who's elderly and ill and yet trying to work and write and take care of kids and husband and all that. I do have a lot of readers who are not parents. I think that if you are just someone who likes to laugh and just enjoys a good funny story, then you would like me. So I hope you get your Facebook situation settled because that's some bullshit right there. Or get a book. I mean, the library I'm sure has the books and you can find them everywhere. And you know, join the community because it sounds to me like you might need a little bit of a community though too. That you're, you know, if you're really sandwiched like that and you're pulled in so many ways, like who's taking care of you?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely can sympathize, you know, like, and I've also worked as a substitute teacher, and, you know, I thought kids could be really mean, but now it's like the parents really just,
the parents are insane.
They come on, like, parent-teacher night or just any meeting, and they have the gall to even, like, start confrontations with other parents
right
in front of their children.
Well, sort of, this will tell you something. More teachers read me than the parents in my school read me. And the teachers all know which parents I'm talking about. Like, and I'm not going to, I have lots of teachers all over the country who send me stories about, you know, what they're dealing with. And it is very different. You know, when we were kids, it was, you know, if the teacher sent home a bad report about you, your parents were just like, what have you done? And now it's like, you know, right, now that, you know, it's like, you don't know my child. You know, I'm pulling him out of this school. The school doesn't know how to deal with him. You know, you don't understand him. He's unique. He's special. He's an asshole. And so I think that it is, and it's harder to, and I think social media and cell phones and all that adds a whole new layer. You know, with having a middle schooler now, I am learning Snapchat because I didn't know how to do Snapchat, but by God, I'm going to get on there and figure out what the frickin' frack they're doing because I don't know what they're doing on there. And it's hard to parent like that, and we all have so many different rules. You know, we were talking earlier tonight that, like, she has rules about her daughter and what age her daughter can date and all this. And it's like everyone has all these rules, and so then the kids come home, and they're like, well, Susie can do that. Well, I'm not Susie's mom, am I? So, like, you're just constantly saying that, like, all the time. But I do think, though, I would encourage you to find that community, because I know it's out there. That's the other thing about that is, I know the internet is a scary place, and maybe not even use Facebook, use Twitter or use, you know, Google or something like that, where, because you don't need a Facebook account to surf and read blogs. And I know that there are blogs out there that deal with what you're dealing with and can offer you at least support and advice and that sort of thing. I encourage you to find your tribe, but join ours too. we'll make you laugh. They'll help you. I can't help you because I don't know what to do with the sandwich yet. God, not yet, please. My parents are, they need to stay healthy a little bit longer. Anybody else? Well then, thank you so much everybody for coming, and thank you to Ann Arbor Library for hosting this tonight. This was really fun. I do have books for sale tonight and I'll sign them, and if we are friends on Facebook, even if you don't want a book, at least come up and take a picture with me because I'm trying to get pictures with all my Facebook friends, but I will pressure you into buying a book, so, you know, there's that too. No, I won't. But I need that parka. So thanks again. I really appreciate it. This was really great, and thanks so much.